Welcome back to Inside Four Walls, powered by Sin Media. I am your anti-government propagandist, James Madison, and I was supposed to have this episode up a couple hours ago. I found myself in the predicament of having two episodes recorded, and one episode still rendering after I had all of it processed and loaded it, edited together and rendering. So I just ended up falling asleep and not getting any of the episodes out. Then I find out that the episode I recorded about this ended up getting, corrupted at some point along the way. So now I'm re-recording it at 1:41 a.m. So I do apologize for the weird time this is going up. Again, I said earlier in my episode also that just got uploaded earlier, because apparently I don't know how the scheduling system works, because I thought I could start having this go up at, 9 and 1 for my recordings, but apparently I don't know how scheduling episodes works on here. I'm figuring it out. And again, shout out to... this goes up on a bunch of different platforms, so I want to give shout out to BitChute. I have had the most growth on BitChute in the shortest time, and it is a great alternative to things such as YouTube, Rumble. And yeah, I prefer BitChute over Rumble. It's nothing personal, it's just... BitChute has a lot more flushed out features. For example, BitChute will tell you if you've watched something, something Rumble won't do. And you can build playlists on BitChute too. I'm exploring learning more about BitChute, and I'm becoming quite fond of this platform. I wish I was on it a lot sooner. But, ranting aside, we're here to talk about Democrats funding Republican candidates. Now the Democrats have been running around saying the most crazy far-right candidates need to be stopped so they can't win. The Republicans are the greatest threat to our national democracy. They're threatening our democracy. The Republicans are the greatest threat to women. And I've jokingly asked, why are you funding them then? And we have an old article here, as you can see, published June 30th, but we have another article here from The Guardian, which is just, it's only, at this point of recording, about 4 hours old. It's a wonderful article. And I was going to read the actual Washington Post article, but it's behind a paywall, and I'm not paying for it, and there's nothing on the archive, unfortunately, for it. Otherwise, I'd be reading from the archive, but it doesn't need to be archived. So, that being said, let's get into it. Over here from Fox News. Yeah, I know, controlled opposition, but it's all controlled opposition. Washington Post calls out Democrats funding Republican extremists, Republican ultra-MAGA extremists, in the primaries. Shameless and dangerous. I'll start off here with a Fox bimbo to give us a little rundown of the article. Governor Pritzker's campaign and the Democratic Governors Association invested $30 million in a Republican candidate running in Illinois. Let me just give you a little preview. Oop, boop. Okay, let's watch this video. Let's watch this. Hold on.
Democrats are conducting an unusual campaign this year to try to stave off a Republican takeover of Congress in November. They're actually giving money to some Republican...
I just want to interrupt real quick. Why is the Capitol building always under construction? Can this ever be just completed in... Like, what the fuck? And all the times I've been to D.C., which one is one too many times, you know? But it's always under construction. They always have some sort of, crane equipment around it. Is that just, a metaphor for how our roads are? Never fucking completed, always under repair. The fuck?
Candidates, and a lot of it. Chief Washington correspondent Mike Emanuel is here with a very interesting story.
Hey,
Mike.
Democrats are meddling in Republican primaries, hoping to nominate conservative candidates.
She looked over like Mike was next to her. Okay, Mike. Ain't no Mike there.
Think will be unelectable in November. In Illinois' governor's race, Democrats are attacking African-American Aurora mayor and Army veteran Richard Ervin, who is the GOP establishment favorite. Democrats are trying to boost State Senator Darren Bailey. They've spent more than $15 million trying to influence the Republicans' race so far.
Ooh.
They hope Bailey will be easier for the incumbent Democrat to beat.
That is a historic sum for Democrats in this governor's race. Crime is up. The economy is in rough shape. He's in for a tough ride, even though Illinois is a very blue state.
A spokesman for the Democratic Governors Association defends the tactic, saying these elected and formerly elected officials want to deceptively retell their histories, and we're just filling in the gaps.
What?
The Republican Governors Association tells Fox, desperate times call for desperate measures, And clearly, national Democrats are panicked by the worsening political environment in states run by Democrat governors. In Colorado's Senate race, an outside Democratic super PAC has spent about $1 million supporting the more conservative state rep, Ron Hanks. Observers consider construction company owner Joe O'Day to be the more electable Republican in November. Democrats are concerned that incumbent Senator Michael Bennett is vulnerable, even though Joe Biden won Colorado by more than 13 points. A National Republican Senatorial Committee spokesman says, Democrat panic underscores their historic weakness, and at this point, no amount of money will save them. These tactics don't always work. For example, last year in Virginia,
these mailers were sent out tying Glenn Youngkin with former President Trump. Okay, never mind. I was going to say, hold up. That was fake. That was a year ago? Holy shit. Damn. I remember talking about that. I did a podcast episode where I talked about that, and the next day I do an episode talking about the fake fucking Democrat actors who showed up outside Glenn Youngkin's, or outside that, whoever he was running against, bus, I can't remember right now, wearing, like, fucking the same outfits, dressed as white, trying to look like white supremacists with a chubby black guy at the end of the fucking line, and they all had pitchforks and whatnot. That was a year ago? Wow. Time fucking flies when you're suffering through clown world.
In the fine print, it said, paid for by the Democratic Party of Virginia. If it turns out to be a big year for the GOP, as some polling predicts, this could backfire on Democrats by electing more conservatives. Shannon?
There you are, Mike, and it's good to see you in person.
Great to see you.
Oh, shit, he was there in person. Holy shit, plot twist. Close that shit. Close it. The Washington Post editorial board argued on Wednesday that Democrats spending tens of millions of dollars on Republican extremists, the ultra-MAGA, in an election across the U.S. was not only shameless but also dangerous. The editorial board contended that democracy was on the ballot and noted that Democrats are hoping to set up, quote, favorable races for themselves against Republicans by putting funding towards more extreme candidates. In Illinois, Democrats have invested millions in attacking Mayor Richard Irvin as an effort, pardon me, getting the last of that phlegm out from being sick, pardon me real quick. Okay. I'm just gonna say right now, this guy looks like a groomer. He looks like he should not be left alone with kids. Then again, anyone who looks this much like Patton Oswalt should not be left alone with kids. Especially if you know what you know about Patton Oswalt. Democrats are hoping to set up favorable outcomes. Mayor Richard Irving, in an attempt to elect State Senator Richard Bailey, who won the GOP nomination on Tuesday. And by the way, just so you know, the America First Populist Group is very unpopular establishment Republicans too. So, you also are going to end up with a lot of Republicans donating to their more MAGA-driven counterparts. This is going to be one hell of a ride, because it's not just Democrats donating to Republicans like this. It's establishment Republicans like Mitch McConnell donating to these Republican GOP candidates who are America First, Trump, 2020 fraud narrative supporters. They're getting the money, too. And they're hoping that by putting these guys on a pedestal, They can beat them easily. Now, this is something Trump thought he could do with Hillary Clinton in 2016. Trump donated to Hillary in 2016, thinking like, yeah, you know, she's the one who gets it. She's so unlikable, I can take her down. And I think he's right on that front. But here's the thing. He also donated to Kamala Harris. And yeah, I'll back that up too. Don't worry. We'll touch on that as well. But the whole, my point being, the whole, I'm going to donate to this person because I want to take this person on in the debate stage, is a tactic that has worked in the past. It's also backfired in the past because a ton of Democrats donated to Donald Trump thinking he'd be easy to beat for Hillary as well. Just like he thought he could easily beat Hillary. A ton of Hillary supporters, including Hillary Clinton herself, donated to Trump thinking that they could also beat him. And we saw how that match turned out. So this insider trading and funding of each other is nothing fucking new. And if anything, it should be questioned even more. By the way, I'm just thinking about it. Let's see. What's his name? Irving JB. Okay, cool. I wanted to make sure. I had to double check down here because I thought, do all these signs mean Joe Biden? That'd be kind of shitty. Imagine you're at your own campaign, like you're a Democrat running for Republican office, and all you do is wave around Trump signs. That's your fucking actually, I've seen that happen. Never mind, I take that back. I've seen that kind of shit before, too. Anyway, let's get back into this argument. Resist, insist, persist. Every groomer's favorite motto. Quit resisting, I'll persist. Anyway, quote, everyone who recognizes that the U.S. democracy is in grave danger should do all they can to encourage results such as these. Not the opposite, quote, or end quote. The editorial board wrote, quote, Democrats got what they wished for in 2016 when Mr. Trump captured the GOP presidential nomination. They savored the race against a malign, incompetent whom the voters would surely reject. Instead, Mr. Trump won and proceeded to tear the country apart. Yeah, I would argue Trump is not the one who ripped this country apart. The media chasing him down for a mixture of ratings and being funded by large Democrat-ran entities, also paying these media outlets to attack Trump at every turn, is probably more to do with it than anything else, because fucking, let's face it, man. If every day you turn on your TV and one network is telling this group of people Trump is the second coming of Christ, Trump is the greatest thing to ever happen to this country, and then the media on the other side of the aisle is saying Trump is Satan, he's Hitler, in fact he's worse than Hitler, he's super Hitler, he's ultra Hitler, you're gonna have these two factions that are like, well, the media said good, but the media said bad, and they're gonna clash, they're gonna be have these completely opposing world views. But that's also a very tiny niche audience. Most of America, just look at where things are now, right? Most of America is actually against Biden. Pardon me? They're actively against Biden, right? And on one side, you got the far, you got like the left that are super propagandized to, and the right that's super propagandized to, be it Fox, OAN, Epoch Times, CNN, MSNBC, or what's the other one? MSNBC, CNN, fuck it, we'll just say Vice, that's another one, right? You're gonna have these two groups that think the world's either on fire or the world's great right now. Most of America isn't plugged into these establishment, long-standing media outlets. Most of these people are going on YouTube, watching people like Sam Cedar or Steven Crowder, unfortunately Ethan Klein or Tim Pool, or Jimmy Dore, or Six Hexenhammer, or even, apparently, on a very tiny, itty-bitty, growing corner of the internet, my ass. So, thank you for being here and checking this out, I appreciate you. But America's pulling away from these fucking corporate media entities. But the corporate media entities are what rip this country to shreds. Their power is waning, thankfully. But the issue is, the damage is done. If they gave Trump a little bit more favorable view, and I'm not saying kiss his ass at every fucking turn, even Fox didn't do that. Originally Fox actually was super anti-Trump, and then slowly over time with a shifting of ownership, they became more, I wouldn't say fair and balanced, they're not balanced, but they became the one of the least egregious of the corporate media enterprises. I'll say that, least egregious. And you're also seeing, like, for example, Daily Wire Plus just surpassed, I might be wrong, but I believe they just surpassed Fox Nation. And they surpassed Netflix? I think they surpassed Netflix, too. People are going to these other tech entities to get their news, and you're starting to see things calm down a little bit. The people who get listened to, though, are the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know? So you have these people that are going to be on the left and the right, with two different understandings of what's happening, locked in that understanding of what's happening, even though it's incorrect on both sides, screaming at the top of their lungs. Those are the people that get all the attention. Average Americans aren't paying attention to that shit. Most Americans aren't talking about politics. Most Americans don't give a fuck. They want to vote, they want to go home, they want to be left alone. But unfortunately, those ones don't make a lot of noise. But the people who scream on either side do. And because they scream, they're the ones who get the attention. And they're the ones that pull the rope in the other direction. The people who don't care about politics are just kind of stuck idly voting for one side or the other. Kind of just the, you know how like in Russia, I know that I'm going to wrap this up soon. In Russia, you had the Bolsheviks and the Mensheviks. The Mensheviks were supposed to be the tiny ones, but they were actually the very large demographic. And the Bolsheviks, which was supposed to be the large demographic, was actually extremely small. But the Bolsheviks were the ones that made the noise. So they sounded louder. They sounded like they had more power than they did. And eventually, they took that impression to end up creating the world where they had all the fucking power. That's what fucking happened. If you look into it, the Bolsheviks were an extremely tiny and unpopular group of communists that the Mensheviks hated. And they told the world, well, the Mensheviks are tiny. You know, fuck them. They're so tiny, they're just wrong. Us Bolsheviks know what's good. Even though the rules were actually reversed. It's just the squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know? So I wouldn't say Trump is the one who ripped this fucking country apart. No, the fact that the media would double down when he did something wrong and then celebrate when he did something even worse. Trump bombed Yemen, and every media outlet was like, yay, Mr. President, finally, Trump did something right. When no, that was one of the worst fucking things he ever did. Not only that, he also greenlit commando raids in fucking Yemen as well, and carpet bombings and drone strikes in Yemen. And the whole media outlet was like, yay, left, right, and center, yay, Mr. President, finally, Mr. President. But then Trump starts pulling troops out of Germany, and the media goes, oh no. He's leaving us open for attack. From what, the Germans? Really, you think Merkel's Humpty Dumpty ass is actually going to fucking do something? She was in power at the time. I know she's not now, but contextual periods. It's just, they never give him any credit. No media company other than, like, Tucker Carlson, like, maybe, you know, Missing Link Media here and there, talked about the Abraham Accords, which is the only reason I even got off my ass to vote in 2020 was for the Abraham Accords. Actual peace in the Middle East was in reach. Now it's gone. But the media never wanted to talk about it. They only celebrated him when he was a warmonger. But when he did good shit, they just found a way to demonize it. And unfortunately, they were more worried about getting paid by big Democrat corporate interests and ratings than they were about what they were doing to this country. Now you have people attacking electoral candidates with like key rings and knives in front of everybody because of the January 6th trials. It's kind of fucking insane. They stir the nation into fear, and then they blame the person they're using as a tool to spread fear as the fucking as a reason it's happening, when really he's just sort of the tool that they're using to rip the country apart. I hope that rant made sense. I'm waking up and re-recording this episode, so I'm a little angry. So I'm trying to recreate the original episode I did, and I know I'm not succeeding, but I think the first recording was better than this recording. But, you know, live and let live, or live and learn, I guess. But let's see. The authors argue that Democrats, if they really believe that former President Donald Trump and his allies are a threat to democracy, they need to, quote, join with everyone of any partisan or ideological persuasion to keep them as far away as possible from the office. The editorial board argued that, instead, these candidates have, quote, enabled the crackpots. In Colorado, Democrats' meddling fell short. Democrat-backed lawmaker Ron Hanks, in a Republican Senate primary, who is a big supporter of Trump. However, his competition, Joe Day, a construction company owner, was victorious on Tuesday. Democrats in Colorado also backed Greg Lopez and Heidi Ganahl in the governor race. A group named, quote, Colorado Information Network spent nearly $2 million to run ads boosting Lopez. Democrats believe him to be a more unelectable candidate in the general gubernatorial election. I also have to wonder, does it say more that you guys are like, well, we can't win, so we better spend a bunch of money on candidates that we think will be easy to take down, which appears to be backfiring at a rapid fucking rate. The Washington Post columnist slammed dark money groups funding Republicans in primary elections in a piece published on June 16th. Quote, "This should stop. The hypocrisy is painfully obvious. How can Democrats portray Trumpism as a danger to democracy while backing its proponents' campaigns?" The author Charles Lane wrote. You know what, Charles? I may disagree with you on a lot of stuff, but I do respect you for calling it out. I can't follow you on Twitter because I am still banned on Twitter for sharing a link to a video about Hunter Biden, you know, a public figure. I got banned because I shared it without having permission of Joe Biden and Hunter Biden to share a video that was already up talking about them. But anyway, I think he deserves some credit because he's actually saying, like, look, this is wrong. We're saying one thing, but our actions are saying another. It's good. a lot of Democrats get painted as just straight-up shit libs, when there's a few libs out there that are actually worth listening to. But we now have to move on to the next article, and this is from Fox News. Washington Post calls out Democrats funding Republican extremists in primaries shameless and dangerous, by Hannah Penrick, published June 30th at 10:49 a.m. Now we're over here at an article that just came out from The Guardian. And The Guardian is a left outlet, you know? Oh, ground news works now. Fucking ace. U.S. midterm elections 2020. How Trump-backed QAnon whack job won with Democratic collusion. Republican Dan Cox won nomination for Maryland governor, but current governors say that was thanks to Democrats promoting extremist opponents they think will be easier prey. Published Monday, the 25th of July, 2022. Man, July feels like such a long month, doesn't it? Dan Cox, an extremist pro-Trump Republican, won his primary nomination for governor in Maryland last week, thanks to, quote, collusion between Trump and the National Democrats. Okay. The current Republican governor said, quote, I don't think there's any chance that Cox can win, Larry Hogan added, speaking to CNN's State of the Union. Yeah, well, Larry Hogan is a real Mitt Romney-type person, real uniparty player. Hogan previously called Cox a QAnon whack job. Quote, collusion, end quote, is a loaded word in U.S. politics in the long aftermath of the Russian investigation in which the special counsel Robert Mueller scrutinized election interference by Moscow and links between Trump aides and Russia, which has been thoroughly debunked and led to Robert Sussman being found guilty. He was released too. We'll have to do an update on that. I only recently found out he was released. The battle to succeed Hogan as governor of Maryland might seem small. Beer in competition? What the fuck does that mean? The battle to succeed Hogan as governor of Maryland might seem small beer in comparison. Beer? Typo, right? Or maybe that's a saying somewhere? I don't know. I've been to Maryland. I just spent a lot of time in Maryland with the U.S. convoy. I never heard anybody say beer in that context. There's a nice little liquor store down the street from the Hagerstown Speedway. I need to go out back. I need to go back to Hagerstown. Not for any convoy or anything like that, just because it's a nice, beautiful chunk of the country. The mountaintops, man. All those cool little areas to explore. Sorry, off topic. I just kind of missed that chunk of the country. I came to really like the East Coast. Small beer in comparison, but the race attracted national attention. Cox, endorsed by Donald Trump, surged past Kelly Schultz, a member of Hogan's cabinet, to win the Republican nomination. They're shitting themselves, I guarantee you. And look at this ratio, 50-50. You never see that. Which means no centrists are talking about this. Interesting. In the Democratic race, Wes Moore, a best-selling author, beat candidates including Tom Perez, really? A former Democratic National Committee chair and U.S. Labor Secretary. In a midterm election, Democrats have sought to boost pro-Trump Republicans in competitive states, placing the risky bet that as January 6th committee remains in the headlines, extremists who support the former president's lie about the electoral fraud in 2020 defeat will prove unpalatable to voters. Hogan said, quote, there's no question that this was a big win for the Democratic Governor Association, cuck, but I think spent over $3 million trying to promote this guy, Cox. And it was basically collusion between Trump and the National Democrats who propped this guy up and got him elected. I don't know if Trump worked with the Democrats. I think the Democrats chose to work with Trump on this one. I wouldn't exactly throw Trump into this whole collusion thing, but I'm sure he's very happy about it. Yeah, it's an interesting thing. I was just telling a friend of mine... about this, and she had no idea that this was happening. She seemed kind of gobsmacked when I said, well, it's all one big pool party, you know, they're funding each other. Trump has donated to Democrat campaigns, and Democrats have donated to Trump candidates. they just support each other in an effort to beat each other. It's all one big swimming pool that you're not welcomed in. Or George Carlin would say, it's a big club, and you're not in it. It's also the same club they beat you over the head with. Oh well. But he really is not a serious candidate. Yeah, I have a video to throw in afterwards about that. The New York Times reported the sum spent by the DGA on pro-Cox TV ads was more than $1.16 million. Hogan's host, Jake Tapper, ew. By the way, any Republican going on CNN, that tells you where they are, right? Pointed out that 142,000 Republicans voted for Cox, a state legislator. Quote, so it's really Republican voters that did this. Blame the voters. That always works. Blame the voters. Hogan said, quote, yes, well, some of them, I mean, we only have a little over 20% of the people in Maryland who are Republican, and only 20% of them showed up to the polls. So it's about 2% of the people of our state that voted for the guy. Your math's off, Junior. And it's the general election. I think it's going to be a different situation. That's some cope posting, ain't it, bitch? Hogan has sought to establish himself as a figurehead for anti-Trump Republicans. Oh, yeah. Like those log cabin, log cabin Republicans are okay. If you don't know, the log cabin Republicans are like the gay Republican Party that have no controversy around them whatsoever. However, the Lincoln Party seems to be full of child fuckers. No, seriously, they are just full of child fuckers. So, whenever it's like, I want to be a lead for the anti-Trump movement, it's like, well, you're probably not, but it makes me assume you're a groomer on the right, because all those fucking, I don't know what it is. I'm not the biggest, you know, whole reason I voted for Trump in 2020, I didn't vote in 2016. Actually, I worked for the McAfee campaign in 2016, but the whole reason Trump was even got my ass out to vote in 2020 was because of the Abraham Accords. I wanted to see that. That's great for the whole world. But every single anti-Trump Republican that I come across always seems to have some creepy pedulation for kids, which, hey, don't think I'm not throwing Trump in with that too, because Trump's got some Epstein connections too that have never been questioned. Really? He's a very fine guy. He likes kids, he said he likes beautiful women, perhaps a little bit younger than Trump does. It's disturbing shit there. And we need to have a full investigation, but that just ain't never gonna fucking happen. Imagine if they just saved that, the Epstein thing is just their face down card they use to take down anybody they don't like. But let's get back into it. Hogan has sought to establish himself as the figurehead for anti-Trump Republicans. Asked if he would vote for more, he said he would, quote, have to make a decision about that between now and November, but I'm certainly not going to support this guy Cox. I said I wouldn't. He's not qualified for the governor. Well, neither are the establishment governors. Neither are the establishment politicians in general. Cox tried to impeach Hogan over his handling over Maryland COVID response. He has used QAnon-adjacent language and attended a QAnon-linked convention. Okay, well, now I have to know. Is this like a, let's see, campaign at an event promoting QAnon conspiracy theories about 9/11? Doug Masterson, who has consistently led polls in Republican primary, spoke at an event featured a kind of greatest hits of conspiracy theorists. Well, you know, that looks like, that's all we're getting to read. Oh, well. I don't know. I'm always suspicious when they say QAnon or QAnon language, because up top it said QAnon, like, right there in the title, right? You know? QAnon whack job. Well, it's in quotes, so they can say it wasn't them calling him that. But at the same time, it's like, let's see, where was I? Let me get the question. Big win for Democrats. Let's see. There we go. It's like, this person was a QAnon or whatever, and it's like the QAnon language that they're using was saying things like, masks don't seem to work, don't get vaccinated, this vaccine's killing people. Now, this isn't going on YouTube now, is it? Shit. Oh well, I don't mind it being a Rumble and BitChute exclusive. I need to start doing more of those anyway. It's like, oh yeah, this person supports QAnon. They use their language, and then you go look at the language. Language is questioning lockdownerism. And seeing how this guy tried to impeach him over COVID response, I'm going to assume, but doing no further research, I'm sure I will down the road out of curiosity, I'm going to assume that this person was questioning lockdowns and using stats and shit, and that's his QAnon adjacent language. Though, I can't say anything about the convention, because, you know, I've been to Trump rallies. I met some crazy QAnon types as well, but you also have the BlueAnon Russian types as well, too. Cox tried to impeach Hogan over his handling of the Maryland COVID response. He has used QAnon adjacent language and attended a QAnon-linked convention. It's not anti-Semitic. Then again, it is. Maybe it is? I don't know. I got a homie, one of my barbers, he's actually a QAnon guy. He's a very almost Hotep QAnon type dude. And he's told me about it. I also am friends with a lady who's a supporter of QAnon, and their versions of what QAnon is are completely different. Like, one of them is just like, yeah, it's just a group of people that share information about, you know, confirmed child predators, and we get the word out to try and stop them. And then the chick is like, oh yeah, QAnon is this organized group that goes out and saves kids, and Trump's working behind the scenes to get reelected, and he's going to be reelected any day now. You know, have you checked the drops? But I have never heard anything anti-Semitic from anyone related to QAnon. Now, if you want to, like, hop on 4chan, then you find, like, those weird Q threads where it's just, like, people posting, you know, pictures of politicians with the Star of David next to them, most of which these politicians aren't actually Jewish. They're just slapping a Star of David next to them. Then, all right, but I don't think that's QAnon. I think it's more of the meme. But alright, QAnon is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory which, among other beliefs, hold that the US is ran by a cabal of child-molesting cannibals which Trump will defeat. Where is the anti-Semitism? They always say it's anti-Semitic, but they never post what the anti-Semitic belief actually is. Then again, QAnon's like, it's like trying to figure out who Anonymous is. It's such a clusterfuck of various half-understood and bullshitted beliefs. Now, I will tell you, I have a conspiracy theory about the conspiracy theory of QAnon. This is my conspiracy theory. I think QAnon is a government plant. I think it's a gay op by the government, and it was meant to sucker in gullible Republicans and gullible Trump supporters to make them think. It was like, I think it's a GLOW operation. How am I going to word this? Essentially, I think it was get, like, you know, make this a thing, start off chill, where it's like, oh yeah, so-and-so's a confirmed child predator, so-and-so's this. And slowly over time, make it more and more insane, and it gathers more and more attention as more and more people join up. And it's meant just to be like, oh, look at how crazy Trump supporters are. They believe in QAnon, when QAnon is not even 1% of the fucking Republican Party and has, like, no fucking electoral power whatsoever. But Marjorie Taylor Greene openly cucked and said, I don't believe that stuff anymore. So whether she does or doesn't, she's ultimately no longer considered part of the conversation by the people who are members, because she voiced her opposition to QAnon these days. So it's just, I don't know, I think the government created QAnon to get, like, a Trump cult going, and then have them be like, look at how crazy they are. I don't know, it's just too glowy for me. It fucking radiates like the elephant foot in Chernobyl. Hogan has said he is considering a run for the Republican presidential nomination. He ain't getting that shit. Oof, he looks like he's about to offer me $20 for a $4,000 historical item at his pawn shop. He has not drawn further on the matter on Sunday. He did tell ABC's this week he thought a Trump 2024 announcement before November, which seems likely, could cost the Republicans in the midterm. I actually kind of agree with that. Just talked a little bit about that in my last episode. I've already given you guys a ton of rants here, so I'm not going to keep going on it. Quote, we had discussions that at a Republican Governors Association last weekend, he said, quote, and I think most people are very concerned about the damage it does to the party if he announces now. Yeah, he should announce now. He should wait, let the people he endorses win or lose, see how that you know, turns out, let them have their celebrations, let them have their grieve, and then he should announce. Give everybody a chance to get some oxygen before he sucks it out of the room. Quote, and you know, it may help in very red states on very red districts, but in a competitive place and purple battlefields, it's going to cost us seats if we were to do that. Hogan said he thought Trump's, quote, ego probably can't take another loss. After all, he lost to Joe Biden, which is hard to do, but he likes to be the center of attention. No. The person who has to deal with that is Hillary Clinton. Imagine being Hillary, right? You couldn't beat Donald Trump, but fucking Joe Biden did. What does that do to a person? What does that do to Hillary Clinton, knowing that she couldn't beat Trump, but bumbling, stumbling, humping old Joe Biden did? Yeah, that fucks with somebody's ego. More than Trump, I'm sure. On CNN, Tapper cited Liz Cheney, another anti-Trump Republican and possible presidential hopeful. No way in hell. Dude, she's out. This midterm is her last. She's literally begging. Check this out. Check this shit out. Liz Cheney begs Democrats for money. Yeah. No, she's not. She is not a presidential hopeful of any fucking sort. She is loathed by the left and the right. And once her little stint with the January 6th shit's all over, she's out. She's fucking gonzo, dog. Sorry, bad take. But let's continue. Who seems to set to lose her U.S. House seat in Wyoming and asked if Hogan felt Trump was winning the battle for the soul of his party. He already won. Trump, like it or not, is the Republican Party. You want to know how you can know? Because most people in the Republican Party say if you're not there, you're part of the Uniparty. And I don't think Trump is going to be the saving grace everybody thinks he is, but at the same time, he's trying to end wars, bro. That's my whole thing. If you're actually going to try and end wars, then I will get up on my ass and actually vote for you. Same thing, you know. Ron Paul is old as shit, but it was Ron Paul versus Trump in 2020. I probably would have gone Ron Paul. All the foreign deals would have continued as they were. But, you know, also, it just make the left seethe again. Quote, there's no question that we lost a battle, and we're losing a few battles, Hogan said, quote, but the fight is long, and it's long from being over. Quote, I mean, we have another couple of years before the next presidential election in November of 2020. In November of 20. I gave a speech at the Reagan Institute, cooks, saying, quote, there's going to be a long battle for the heart and soul of the Republican Party, and this is just the beginning. Quote, I think in November, we're going to have a difficult story, or a different story, when a lot of these fringe candidates lose. And then we're going to have to start thinking about, between November's election and the election 2 years later, what kind of party are we going to be? And can we get back to a more renaissance big tent party that appeals to more people? Quote, or are we going to double down on failure? Yeah, nah, fuck your favors. I'm never donating to any of these media outlets. Sorry. The only company I donate to is Timcast. And that's because, it's actually a true story here. My mom got a membership, and she got me a membership too, so I was like, I'll take it. It's actually, you know what? You get some cool shit. I'm not gonna lie, it's actually kind of worth it, but I'm not gonna sit here and shill for someone with a much bigger audience than me. I don't know, man. I think this is going to result in a ton of these ultra-MAGA candidates winning these elections. Because all these people were calling Trump a joke in 2016. Now, regardless if you feel like the election was good or bad in 2016, I don't really give a fuck. Bottom line is all these establishment comedians, like these left comedians and Republicans, all these people were coming out saying Trump will never win. He'll never win. And they donated to his campaign, and then he ended up winning. I'm going to put in a clip at the end of this episode, which is a meme from that time period when everybody was saying it was a joke. Also, I'll post that same video to my BitChute. But now, let's just think about this. They are funding these, quote, ultra-MAGA type of Republicans. The Republicans that believe in what believe the election of 2020 was a fraud. They believe that, like, genuinely. So if they win, and they start going on their little fucking headhunt to find the people they think are, you know, maybe, to use a big word here, treasonous, they might have the gumption to try to prosecute, and they might believe in carrying out the punishment for treason. I'll let you Google what the fuck that is. I would just be careful. Because if they end up winning, that's going to be a whole bunch of people faithful to whatever Trump wants to do, and they're going to turn around and point at people. And we just covered Trump supposedly is talking about Schedule F, which would result in upwards of 50,000 government jobs becoming eligible to be fired. Because their role to become appointee roles, which means they can be fired by the president directly. Oh yeah, and also to the fucking people out there saying, "Well, that means he's gonna fire and hire all these people." He's not gonna hire 50,000 people. And even then, it seems like what Trump is saying is he doesn't need to fire all 50,000; just fire enough of them, and it will cause a behavioral shift, as he called it. And supposedly he called it, because it's only every outlet is saying sources familiar with Trump or sources inside the Trump campaign. No names, no nothing, just an anonymous source with no name or official capacity of any kind coming forth and saying some shit. So that's very much what it could just be. But if Trump's serious about Schedule F, and then Democrats fund all these QAnon whack jobs, as they're calling them, don't they realize they're running the risk of giving Trump the type of government he wished he had in 2016, especially during his last 4 years he could ever serve as president, when he's going to want to do the most, the quickest? Do you really think running the gauntlet of actually giving Trump loyalists that you funded yourselves? I don't know. It seems like it's a decent gamble to be paying for your own defeat, but we'll see. But I do want to harp on Trump a little bit and bring two things to your attention that may not have been on your radar. For example, this. Donald Trump appears to have donated $100,000 to the Clinton Foundation. Despite his recent criticism of the Clinton Foundation, Donald Trump apparently has donated at least $100,000 to the organization, according to a 2009 tax document circulated online Tuesday night and Foundation records. Yeah, it's old. I know it's old, but so is the next thing I want to bring up. It's old too, and I know Trump went back and forth from being a Democrat to a conservative to an independent, back to a Democrat, and then back to a Republican when he ran for office in 2016. He's flip-flopped a lot on these issues and on this political platform. But the fact that he donated them, and he said, "They've always been corrupt. The Clinton Foundation has never contributed anything good to the country or to the world. It's always been a corrupt money laundering scheme." He seems to have been a pretty heavy donator back in the day. I'll leave this article in the description below, as well as this one too. Records show that Trump donated to Kamala Harris' campaign twice while he was a private citizen. And this is from August 11th, 2020. I like how they always go with the duck face pictures of him. President Trump contributed $6,000 to Kamala Harris when she was running to be California's Attorney General, according to records reviewed by NBC News. Yeah, you know, the Kamala Harris, who was aging California, that kept people in prison, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 times their maximum sentence for $1 an hour of free labor. That $1 an hour going back to the state, not to the people she was torturing, most of which were in there for nonviolent drug offenses such as marijuana possession, all while she was smoking weed. At least according to her, she was smoking weed all the time back then, while locking people up for it. In sworn affidavit, Trump said he contributed to Harris at the request of then New York Attorney General Eric Schilderman. Remember what I said about 4chan posting pictures of people with little stars of David? Maybe this one should have that picture. The president's history of donating to Harris resurfaced on Tuesday after Joe Biden, the presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, tapped Harris to be his running mate. Visit Business Insider's homepage for more stories. President Trump donated to Kamala Harris, the presumptive Democrat vice president nominee, twice while she was a candidate for California Attorney General, according to the public record review by NBC. The record shows Trump donated a total of $6,000 to Harris, $5,000 in 2011 and $1,000 in 2013. He made both donations while he was a private citizen. So, my thing is, Kamala Harris, when she was running, it was already well reported and well known about her having people locked up for, you know, exacerbated time periods so that she can receive that free labor, which means one of two things. Trump either supported that back then, or he did no investigation into who he was donating to. Especially if he was asked to donate it by someone. He said, yeah, sure, gave him some money. That's also a very bad look. And you can look up here and see 67% of left media outlets are covering this. This could be a nothing burger. It could be a something burger. I remember hearing a lot about this. It got a lot of report back in the day. It's something I want to remind people of. Democrats are donating to Republicans, and Republicans are donating to Democrats. It's a big club, and you're not in it. That being said, I'm in the club with you. Whichever little weird niche peon club this is, I'm proud to meet you on the dance floor with something special to drink. That being said, I am your anti-government propagandist, James Madison, on this independently funded program, Inside Four Walls, powered by Sin Media. After this video is over, I'm going to have a little meme inserted into the video. Just some 2016 humor. Enjoy it, and I'll talk to you guys later. Deuce.
I thought it was all over.